Now, the 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life. Live from the Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge studios, here's Charles Hanegriff.
To the break at 8-0. 23-28 and oh so close. The LSU Tigers win it by 3 points in Tiger Stadium, a wet Tiger Stadium, but a happy Tiger Stadium. And I got to think an exhausted Tiger Stadium, from players and coaches to fans and even broadcasters. We were sweating this one out. But, you know, it strikes me that some games are really, really hard to win. And regardless of matchups or venue or sometimes even talent level, some games are just really hard to win. And I've watched 3 decades of LSU-Auburn games in person. And, JV, not without exception, because there have been a couple of bad games in the series, but not very many. Most of the games have been the knockdown, drag-out affairs that we saw this afternoon, which is two teams playing as hard as they could. A lot of talented kids out there. You played in some of these games against Auburn. Auburn ain't ever easy to beat. That's a good football team that LSU beat. And were they at their best? Maybe not. Was it a sloppy game? Definitely so. I mean, when you got 28 penalties for 225 yards, were the penalties and 3 turnovers? No, it wasn't the cleanest thing you've ever seen in your life. But these are hard games to win. Alabama coming up in 2 weeks, I think, you know, they said enough about don't look past, but everybody knows who's next. It's a hard game to win, and LSU won it today.
Yeah, it was definitely hard. I mean, the guys fought well. I mean, they knew the tasks they had at hand. You know, Auburn's always been coached well. You know, even going back to my playing days, I remember, you know, going down there and losing a tough one with the made-up call that they, I guess, is now in play that you can't catapult yourself with Ronnie Prude, and then the offensive pass interference they called, or no pass interference call. So it's always been something, and these games have always been tight and close. There's never been a dog walk at all.
I'm quite certain that we'll get our fair share of calls about this call or that call or this one that wasn't called or whatever. There was plenty of that. There was plenty for interpretation today. They wore the rules guy out on the broadcast. I get it. Early on, it was LSU's miscues that allowed Auburn to get off to a good start. A holding call on the very first punt helped them out. Field position-wise, a pass interference on Patrick Queen gave them a first down. Another flag on an offsides on Chasson gave them what was going to be a 3rd and 6 into a 3rd and 1 that they were able to convert, and Auburn took advantage of those penalties to help them on a drive that put them out to a 3-0 lead. The rest of the first quarter, LSU really did not look very much like the offense that we've seen put up 50 points a game. Early on, the Auburn defensive line was getting the better of the LSU offensive line. Burrow was pressured. He was sacked 3 times in the first quarter. There was another a holding penalty where basically they were trying to work through getting beat on a play. But early in the second quarter, LSU found their stride, and it was a Joe Burrow run that sort of got him going. Took a big shot near the end of the first quarter, and it was kind of the tonic that LSU needed to spark him a little bit. A Burrow run on 3rd and 12 for a first down, and then he went to work to chase for a first down, to chase for another first down, to chase for 26 yards to put him down in good field position, and then a throw into the end zone for Terrace Marshall, who was making his return for the first time in 4 games. And a couple of minutes into the second quarter, LSU took their first lead at 7-3. And when Auburn came back on the next drive and LSU got him on 3 and out, and the pressure got to Bo Nix and caused him to go into an intentional grounding, you thought maybe that LSU might start to assume command. At that point, it had the possibility of getting some of that same flow that the Mississippi State game had, where they were off a little bit early, Justin, but got it going toward the end of the first quarter and really started to hit their stride in the second quarter. But that wasn't the case today. Auburn regrouped and came right back at them even after they fell behind.
Yeah, they made some adjustments as well as we did. And like I said earlier, they're coached very well. And, you know, hats off to them. But, yeah, it started off slow, just like Mississippi State. You know, people around me, I was at the game, they were moaning and groaning. But obviously, you know, got into the rhythm and got some things done. You just, you kind of hate these games coming down to onside kick and some things like that to put these guys in position to take the lead or at least a tie.
Yeah, you had a fourth. They put that drive together, and you know they just couldn't really couldn't get it going. And then the big play in the first half, the muff punt by Derek Stingley down at the 22-yard line, and Auburn was able to punch that in. Was the only touchdown that they got in the first half. It was the only touchdown they got in the first three quarters, and it came on a short field. And, Justin, I couldn't help but think that on the punt before that, the punt return before that, he's had a hard time getting punts that he can field and go anywhere with the last few games. And the one before that looked like a punt he could do something with, and he fair caught it. And it almost looked like he was trying to press the issue a little bit because the one he fumbled probably should have been a fair catch that time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's trying to make a play. He's a young man who's full of juice, and he has his playmaking ability, and he wants to show the world. But sometimes you gotta know when just to take your licks and keep on ticking. I think he was trying to make too much of something.
The Tigers got the ball back late in the first half, drove it down, got down for a fourth down and one, and decided to take the field goal. And with 33 seconds to go, it was 10 apiece. Then a little, shenanigans or whatever, some odd plays. Goodness knows LSU and Auburn's got enough odd plays. But a big kickoff, you feel like Auburn's probably ready to take it to the locker room. It's a tie ball game. And they got a decent return on the kick. They got a big play, and then Stingley makes the interception down on the 2-yard line. Gus Malzahn, endeared himself to the home crowd by calling timeout.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But LSU got to the locker room, and it was 10-10. Early in the second half, a huge play, and it won't get lost. I'm not going to let it get lost because this was just a massive play in the ball game. First play from scrimmage, Auburn busts a 70-yard run, and it goes down to the 9-yard line. But it should have been a touchdown. The back stepped out right at the 9-yard line, and LSU gets a stop for a field goal there. And this ought to be a touchdown. And if you're an Auburn fan, you're thinking to yourself, you had Derrick Brown going for a touchdown against Florida, and he just tripped over the 35-yard line. And in this game, you've got a 70-yard – DJ Williams is gone. I mean, this is a touchdown. It's supposed to be a touchdown. They didn't have the angle on him. He didn't need to veer himself out. He just flat stepped out of bounds. And instead of 7, it was 3. And I thought that was just a massive play in this ball game.
Yeah, Grant Delpit just got enough of the shoelaces to make him kind of buckle a little bit, and he stepped out of bounds. So, I mean, obviously that was a huge play because, I mean, you go up by 6, you know, barring they make the field goal 7, and it becomes a different ball game.
Teams traded possessions, and then one of the best efforts I've seen out of an individual player on a drive that you can possibly ask for. LSU took the ball at the Auburn 46-yard line with about 7 minutes to go in the third quarter, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire did the entire drive himself. Went on 4 consecutive carries, busted LSU into the end zone. Edwards-Helaire would end up, we're going to talk about him a lot, obviously, with 136 yards and a 5.2-yard average against what's a pretty stout Auburn defensive front. I know that we're going to have Hester on here in a minute, and he loves Edwards-Helaire. He has exceeded every expectation, I think, that I've had for sure. And that drive that's the stuff that legends are made of. If this ends up being a championship season, you'll say, well, where was the drive that put LSU up in the game that ended in a field goal game? And that was the drive. Drive that put them on. I missed an extra point, but that was a drive that put them ahead. And things were getting a little bit hairy at that point.
Yeah, he put the team on his back, man. He had some runs that were made and designed to go inside, and he, with his shifty self, bounced it outside and was able to, you know, make a guy miss here or there and keep going.
The 70-yard run seemed to inspire the defense a little bit in that they not only stopped Auburn inside the red area that time, but the entire rest of the quarter belonged to the LSU defense on that side of the ball. The next 13 plays that Auburn ran netted only 5 yards after after that long run. And then LSU put together another drive, a crucial 3rd-and-2 from the 7-yard line. Joe Burrow, we were watching his play, and I said, you know, it's got to take a tremendous amount of courage. He comes up to the line of scrimmage, and there's 5 receivers. And so there's nobody in the backfield with him, but Auburn is showing him a light box. It's supposed to be a run, except he didn't have anybody to hand the ball to. So he takes the snap, stands there for, I'm going to say, almost a good hard two count, and then takes off.
Yeah, it was like a draw.
And when those guys are coming at you, the linebacker right in the center of the field, he waited until the very last second when this guy bails out into coverage, and then he took off. To have those guys coming at you and just stand there, and I'm convinced, maybe he'll tell us afterwards, I don't know, but I'm convinced that he was never going to throw the ball there. But he had to make it look like he did.
Yeah, it didn't look like it.
It was a beautiful, play. And at that stage, LSU's got a 2-score lead, and you figure, well, I don't think that the Auburn offense can generate 2 scores in the fourth quarter. And that turned out to be correct, but it was anything but easy. Never is with LSU Auburn. Late in the game, Bo Nix threw up a prayer that Seth Williams was able to corral on the sideline. It set up an Auburn touchdown with 2.5 minutes to go, and LSU had to sweat out the onside kick, which Auburn got a hand on. You had a scrum. Derek Dillon, who made a mistake early in the game with a foolish penalty, is right where he needs to be and makes that recovery. And even though they had a penalty on the drive, they're able to kneel it out. I got to tell you, Justin, these two teams, if they had played there for, 360 minutes, you kind of feel like they would still just be out there knocking the snot out of each other. That's as physical. That's big boy football. We talk about big boy football. That's big boy football. That's a hard game to win. But at the end, and I hate to put it exactly like this because it's nothing against the young man. He's got a lot of heart. He's just at the point in his career where he's not as far advanced as the guy on the other side. If Jarrett Stidham's on the other side, Auburn's a top five team right now.
Yeah,
I mean, they really are. He went pro a year early. He wasn't, the best quarterback that's ever come through there. But Bo Nix at this point, he's 15 out of 35, and to be honest, a couple of those heaves, he kind of got bailed out on. You got Joe Burrow on one side, you got Bo Nix on the other side, and that was the difference today.
It was the senior ruled. I mean, obviously you can tell he's young. He made a lot of mistakes, and like you said, the toss-ups, I mean, hell, it could have been our ball just as much as it was theirs.
The one that he gets to Williams where he's no more than 8 inches in bounds, moving to his left, right-handed quarterback, heaves the ball down the field, and Williams is there for it was 34 yards on the reception. You could have him run out there with nobody on the field. I mean, in a practice session, okay, after the scrimmage, everybody off the field except for Nix and Williams. Go throw that pass exactly the way you threw it again with no defense on the field at all, and it would take him 40 times 100%. Probably to make that play because Nix is less than a foot away from going out of bounds and Williams is less than a foot away from going out of bounds. But that's LSU Auburn.
Yeah.
LSU Auburn is about the unusual play, the play that you don't see in any other game this year. That play, I mean, the game's supposed to be over, right? They're not supposed to come down and get to the last touchdown. He's not supposed to come down to an onside kick.
They weren't supposed to have an opportunity.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the game plan, obviously. But, I mean, they fought tooth and nail, man, and hats off to them. But they made it a tough one.
You can point out the flaws in today's game. And, that's kind of what we do here on post game. But I got to tell you, that was a hard, hard game to win. And LSU won it. And with a lot of big plays, and that was entertaining football. So 499-9898 is the number to call. We're going to take your calls here in just a little bit. We got the Edo press conference. We got Jacob Hester, Gordy Rush down at Tiger Stadium. Going to be a good party tonight, but I got to think everybody is just worn out after another LSU-Auburn game that had a little bit of everything. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. All right, trying to get a clean feed on Ogeron's press conference. He's going to the podium. We'll get you caught up on a few scores. Alabama, no Tua, no problem. Mac Jones throwing a couple of touchdown passes in the first quarter. They're leading Arkansas 17-0. Clemson out early 3-0 on Boston College on their first drive. Notre Dame and Michigan just underway. We've Missouri and Kentucky just underway, no score. UCF leading Temple 14-7. We've got the World Series game four coming up here in just a little bit. So plenty to entertain us here during the scoreboard show. Justin Vincent with me. We'll be taking your phone calls here in a little bit. We got Jacob Hester down at Tiger Stadium. So a lot to come. Do we have that feed now? No. Justin, if you were Coach O, what would you be saying?
Right? All the right stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing really. I mean, obviously, we got some mistakes. You know, we can clean up, and that's every football game. But at the end of the day, look, man, we won. We're 8-0. Got a bye week. Heading to the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, 8-0 with a bye week against a team that's 8-0. I think it's easy. I think it's easy for people to look at this game and say, well, if you play like that, you're not going to beat Alabama. I think that the way LSU has played through eight games should give you every bit of confidence that they can beat Alabama. If you've watched Alabama every week, there's an impression that, and I get why it is, that Alabama is invincible and that they have, you know, endless supplies of talent and plays and that there's just no way. They haven't played exactly that way this year. And even if they had, LSU's got enough to beat them. If there's anything I would leave you with, it's that teams don't play the same way every single week. And with some of the upsets we've seen, you should very well know that. All right, we got added to the podium. All right, let's go.
A good football team. They have great players. They have great coaches in there. You're just not going to walk over everybody in this league. You have to win these football games. I want to thank our crowd, the winning edge. They were the difference in the ball game tonight. They gave our guys energy. It was just overall LSU effort, the whole team, the whole state, the whole crowd, everybody. That's what it took to beat this team.
And how important was conditioning, especially the way your offensive line was handling them in the second half?
I felt that we wore them down a little bit. Our offensive line was saying, hey, they're tired. We feel like we're in great condition because of the way we practice, and we also feel that we're rested. Mm-hmm. I think it made a difference. You know, we have the best strength coach in the world, Tommy Moffitt. He's excellent.
The win is fresh, but how comfortable were you sleep tonight, being able to go against the Bible?
Well, you know, we have some recruits in town tonight, so I'll be recruiting. And then I think Kelly got a couple of honeydews on me when I get home. So by the time I get to sleep, I'm sure I'll sleep very well. But we know it's upon us. But you know what? We're going to enjoy the open date. Well, I'm going to be out recruiting on Monday and Friday. We're going to prepare for our next opponent, but we're going to go through the process.
You talked a lot about grit, and obviously another game here tonight kind of benefits that with the belief, I guess, that it gets the
team. Yeah. Yeah, gut check. It was a gut check tonight. It was a gut check at Texas. And it was a gut check against Florida. And our guys have grit. Our guys have character. And that's the way we practice it. But you know what? It's all the leadership on a football team. Those guys stick together, and they didn't want to be denied tonight.
You mentioned the penalties earlier, 12 for 118 yards. Did you notice any sort of common thread between all of those?
You know, I think in the first half we're maybe a little bit too fired up. I mean, the guys were just a little erratic, especially on special team. There's a lot of late hits. Now, they were pushing and we were pushing, and, you know, they always see the second one. So we got to learn how to be smarter than that. Illegal procedure penalties, two of them. I just think our guys were a little jittery at the beginning of the game, but we settled down at halftime.
How did y'all adjust to the pressure Auburn had on defense? Mm-hmm. It seemed like they were getting to him early.
I think the movement with Joe helped. I think the quicker passes helped. We didn't change the protection. We kept with the same protection. So our guys just bowed up in the halftime.
Earlier this week, strong up the middle.
Yeah, very strong. Yeah, Tyler's playing very well. I thought Rashard played good. Glenn played good. You know, we went and let them run the ball in between the tackles. I don't know how many rushing yards they had. They had 130. They were averaging 260 or something like that. So I thought it was a great job by defense and tackling and stopping the run. Phenomenal player. You know, and we don't want to fumble that punt. We need to be smarter on our punt returns. Right? We need to go back and look what we're doing. And we lost some field position there. And we don't want to do that for sure.
You went 5-4 times in a row on that one touchdown drive. I mean, I guess what was going on that drive and being able to turn to the run game?
Well, we needed the run. They were taking away the passing game. There was some checks in me at the line of scrimmage. The coverage dictated that we ran the football. There was not enough guys in the box. And Clyde started breaking it off tackle a little bit, and it was a phenomenal game plan.
What was the Chief shot on the on Joe on the sideline?
It sure looked like it. You know, I'm going to look at it again. I'm on the other side, so I didn't see it, but we'll look at it. There was a lot of late hits, and some are called, some are not. We'll look at it on film. I'll turn it in and see what they say.
As the head coach of this team, how much do you like the complementary nature that your team is playing? It's offense.
Yes. Balance. That's what we've been looking for, is balance. And, you know, the defense, as soon as we got our guys healthy, has been playing fairly well. And when you're not going to score 50-something points every game, and you're playing those guys, they're giving up 17 points a game. That's not going to happen. And your defense has to stand up, and we did tonight.
You know, Clyde's game today and the way he was able to read and find those space. Is he playing his best football at this
point? I do believe he has great vision. He has great feet. He's tough. He's hard to block because of his leverage, you know, and he's hard to find sometimes behind those big guys.
There was some discussion if you should be number one or not. There was some discussion about whether you should be ranked number one or not. Does that matter?
Man, I just know we ain't no. We won a football game. That's out of our hands. You know, I don't look at that stuff. And, you know, the rankings matter when it comes down for the playoff time. We got to control what we can control and just let it happen.
Well, when you guys were up, or I just seen you trailing 13-10 with the chance to take the lead, you're at the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
And you guys went tempo on that third down. At that moment in time, do you debate calling a timeout?
Oh, yeah.
Good player, do you just like tempo?
Oh, yeah. Well, we felt the tempo would not, they wouldn't get lined up down tempo. It was giving us an advantage. You know, those big first rounders, you don't want their cleats in the grass, and they're just ready. And so we wanted to wear them out. So that was the game plan. You know, it did wear us a little bit, obviously, going forward on 4th and 2, but we wanted to take a shot. We thought we can get it. And that's why we kicked the field goal the second time. Huh? Grit. He said it. Grit, character, senior leadership. You know, you got Clyde. You have Joe Burrow. You have Grant Delpy. You have Rashard Lawrence. You have guys. Tyler Shelvin's playing good football. Offensive line doing well. I think you have great assistant coach on the staff. I think our guys are getting the best coaching they can get every day. They believe in each other. One team, one heartbeat.
Coach, excuse me. One more for Coach.
Do you think it's anything serious with Derek and Grant going down late?
I don't think so. I think we're fine. Jack used to tell me, but I just think it's regular stuff.
Ed, this will be your fourth time as head coach going into Alabama. Just, you have 8 games in. What do you see about this team going into this match at this time?
Well, you know, there's some things we have to get better at. We can't make mistakes against a great team like that. There were too many penalties we made. You can't fumble a punt return. We have to get better on offense. We've got to make the score more plays. Continue to play like we played on defense. I haven't looked at them yet. I know they're a fantastic football team. We have to play our best. Thank you, guys.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
LSU wins it by a score of 23-20. Moved to 8-0 on the season, the third top 10 team that LSU has beaten that was in the top 10 when LSU beat them. You know, there's a lot to unpack from this game, but one of the things that really jumps out at me, Justin. We've seen Joe Burrow have monster passing days, and we've seen the defense make some plays. We've seen a lot of things, and over the last few weeks, we've seen the running game get better and better. And on this night, you were playing a team that had a top three rush defense in the Southeastern Conference. In fact, their rush defense number was almost identical to LSU's, and just 8 yards behind Georgia. In 9 yards behind Georgia in the league. And their number that they're giving up, 94 yards, LSU doubled it tonight. Those are the things where it may get lost in the 23-20 part of this, that you went out and you threw your second best pitch. Okay, we got the World Series on here, right? This is like getting, 12 strikeouts and never throwing your best pitch, never throwing your best fastball. Because the passing game is what's gotten LSU all the notoriety. But it was the run game today that was as important as anything, and that was against, I have to keep saying this because I don't think it's sinking in really, It's a very good defense over there. Yeah, a very the good defense. That's a defense that is full of guys that's going to play on Sunday. Full of guys. Save your roster today and bring it back in 3 years and tell me how many of those guys are on NFL rosters, because I'll tell you better than half is my best guess.
100%. I mean, they played extremely well throughout the year up until this point. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see the 26 for 140 for Clyde.
Yeah.
That wasn't even in my mind frame. I'm like, oh, we'll get some dinks and dives here and push the pocket and, you know, 5 yards here, 6 yards here. I didn't see the 140.
No, Auburn was giving up 319 yards a game coming in. What I thought was realistic for LSU was to put up somewhere around 450, between 450 and 475 yards, because they're way better than the teams, you know, than just about any other offense in football right now. And I thought that of that 450, 350 of it would be through the air, and they'd rush for about 100, just enough to, you know, keep Auburn from overloading or, you know, putting together a set of exotic blitzes that might give them trouble to be able to control. And again, the drive, I'm going to just call it the Clyde drive, where he takes over and he takes every snap and they go down the field. That's the drive that put them ahead in the second half against a top 10 team. And it was all, I mean, the offensive line. Okay. I don't want the team effort. I get it, but that's all Clyde. It's all Clyde right there. That's a tremendous positive to take out of this game. You could run it against Florida. You run it against Auburn. Okay, then you can run it against anybody. And before you say, well, can you run it against Alabama? Well, we're going to find out. But to this point in the season against a far, far inferior schedule, Alabama's given up 40 more yards, 36 yards a game more on the ground than Auburn was.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I watched them play. I watched Alabama play against South Carolina. South Carolina ran the ball on them.
They did. So did Ole Miss.
Ole Miss ran the ball on them.
So did Ole Miss.
Ole Miss did a lot
with the quarterback, but still.
Their front seven isn't the same.
It's not. It's very good. Look.
That's good. Like, we're not going to water it down because they are who they are. But at the same time, they've been so dominant up front that the back end, in my opinion, in the last few years have been remotely middle of the road. They've been good ball players, but they haven't been the Landon Collins is back there, the world, and all that stuff.
They also have this season not played anywhere near the schedule that LSU has played or that Auburn has played.
Not many teams have, or that
Florida has. Again, these statistics that Auburn has compiled come against good teams. Oregon is right now the odds-on favorite to win the Pac-12. They went to Florida, who I think has got everybody's respect. The one game Florida lost was here, and they beat Auburn, okay? Two big plays, they beat Auburn. And then they played LSU. They played what I would call some complimentary teams. They played A&M on the road. A&M's not great. They're not terrible. Mississippi State, I think, is fading, okay? Watched a little bit of them today. Even the rental wins, Tulane, is a lot better than your common run win. They've accumulated these statistics against what I consider to be, if Auburn's schedule is not the toughest in the nation, then it's two or three. And to accumulate that body of work against that schedule is very impressive to me. And LSU was able to, you know, to go at that group and win a game in a spot where it would have been easy to look ahead. They didn't do that. Watching Missouri and Kentucky, that game is near the end of the first quarter. No score in that one. Alabama, no problem with Arkansas. It's 24-0. Arkansas is we had some discussions early in the year where it was maybe a little bit of a debate who the worst team in the league was. Tennessee was back again today. Not world beaters by any stretch, but they were back today and got a win against South Carolina. And Vanderbilt was struggling, but no, Arkansas is the worst team in the league. So Alabama's going to roll here. We knew that, and it'll set up the matchup. So that was one of the stats that jumped out at me. 508 total yards. LSU ran 88 plays this afternoon, which is the most on the season, over 500 yards of total offense. And again, we talk about total defense for Auburn. They were giving up 319, so you got just under 200 yards more than what they're used to giving up. LSU won the time of possession. They were 9-19 on third down, so they had almost twice as many first downs as Auburn. They made some mistakes. The number that is going to drive the coaches crazy is the penalties. Yeah. And most of them were good calls. I got to be honest with you. 118 yards in penalties for LSU, 98 yards in penalties for Auburn. They may have missed a couple.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
So I was in the stadium. What did the hit look like on Joe Burrow? Did he go to the head?
No. He went up near the top of his sternum with his shoulder, okay? It looked worse in real time than what you saw on the replay. And when I saw it, I immediately screamed, "You got to throw that flag." When I watched it on the replay, I thought, "No, that's a good call." That being said, I've seen it called before.
Oh yeah.
I've seen it called a number of times, but if I'm being honest, do I think that that's a penalty? I do not. In real time, it looked bad.
On my end, it definitely looked that way. And I was like, you're not even going to look at it?
If you watch it in real time, and I don't know, because they had the break at that point, how much they looked at it on replay. But if you watch it in real time, I absolutely thought, yes, that is not only a personal foul, but it's targeting a throw that kid out of the game. And then when I watched it on the replay, I'm like, no, they got it right. I thought they got most of them right today, okay? I know there's going to be a lot of, well, they should have called this, and it didn't call this, and this was...
It's part of the game.
On a day like today when you had 200 yards worth of penalties, yeah, to be honest with you, on the touchdown to Terrace Marshall, I thought Austin Deculus, who I thought played a tremendous game today, If you watched a lot of Edwards-Helaire's runs, they broke off the right side where he makes a cut, and Deculus has pushed his guy way out of the picture. Now, D. Lewis struggled, okay? But the interior guys for Auburn are a little bit better than the exterior guys. I thought Deculus was terrific. But on the play to Terrace Marshall, he grabs the Auburn defender, turns him 360 degrees in a circle.
I saw that.
That's a holding penalty. They missed that one.
Yeah.
So I don't have a whole lot of beef with the officiating today. The game.
I'm always have beef with it because it's been bad across the board for.
There's been plenty of places where you can grouse about it, but today I can live with, given some of the calls I've seen in past LSU Auburn games both sides.
Oh.
I can live with today's game. It took forever. You know, they had to go back and look at I don't know how many calls, but by and large, I thought they got them right today. We'll take a break. I think we got Hester when we come back here. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, the First South Farm Credit College Football Scoreboard. First South Farm Credit, financing farms and land since 1916.
Now let me start out with games in progress and tell you something that you already knew. It's going to be 8-0 against 8-0 when LSU goes to Tuscaloosa in 2 weeks. Halfway through the second quarter, Alabama leads Arkansas 31-0. Mac Jones has thrown a couple of touchdowns. Najee Harris has run for a couple of touchdowns. Jerry Judy's got a touchdown, and it is all Alabama in that one. Texas Tech leads Kansas 17-7. That game is late in the second quarter. Central Florida leads Temple 21-14 about halfway through the second quarter. Memphis leads Tulsa 21-7 early in the second quarter. Arkansas State leads Texas State 17-7. These are all second quarter scores. Georgia State leads Troy 21-14. Clemson, no problem with Boston College early 17-0. First quarter scores, Michigan got a field goal, and they lead number 8 Notre Dame 3-0. UCLA leads Arizona State 13-7. That's in the first quarter. Colorado State leads Fresno State 14-7, and at the end of one, Kentucky and Missouri are scoreless. But I do think, though, that Kentucky's got some passing yards. Took them all the way in the second half last week. UTEP and Louisiana Tech just underway. Scores from earlier today. Number 3, Ohio State, it was a struggle in the first half, and early in the second half, Wisconsin got within 3 points, but it was all Buckeyes from there as they pull away from number 13, Wisconsin, 38-7. Justin Fields threw a couple of touchdown passes. J.K. Dobbins has 163 yards and 2 touchdowns. Shocker of the day, Kansas State beats number 5 Oklahoma 48-41. James Gilbert ran for 105 yards for Kansas State, but it was the quarterback, Thompson, who ran for 4 touchdowns. It's Skylar Thompson who ran for 4 touchdowns in this game. At one point, Kansas State had a 25-point lead in the second half and had to hold on to win. Justin, now this is three consecutive weeks that we have seen a bona fide national championship contender that was a three-touchdown favorite or better lose outright. 2 weeks ago, it was Georgia. Last week, it was Wisconsin. Today, it was Oklahoma. So when we all sit here, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, and say, well, we know who's going to happen in that game. We know what's going to happen in that game. We don't always know what's going to happen in that game. Three weeks in a row, we've seen this happen now. So I'm just saying, we've all watched enough college football to know the teams don't play the same week to week. I mean, not all the time.
That's Kansas State Super Bowl. They were up for that game, and obviously the results showed.
If they showed up again tomorrow, would Kansas State win?
No.
If they showed up next week, would they win?
No.
How many more consecutive weeks would they have to show up before Kansas State won another one? Four, five, 10, whatever it is. That's the point. That's the beauty of college football. Everything's on the line every week. And like I said, 2 weeks ago it was Georgia, and last week it was Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, I thought in the first half they were just kind of hanging on. Their defense was playing well. They were containing Ohio State. When they throw that touchdown pass at the beginning of third quarter, it's within 10-7, and it's like, got a ball game. And Ohio State went beep, beep. And after that, they just pulled away. We're starting to, we're almost in November now. It's those teams. Oklahoma got clocked today. They came back, but too late. Ohio State found themselves in a fight today. They responded. They went and got the win. Penn State's another one. They win today, 28-7 over Michigan State. Michigan State, I'm convinced, has not figured out what offensive football is. I mean, they are the Les Miles looks like Bill Walsh compared to what they're running at Michigan State right now. But Penn State, week after week, just find a way to win. 17-12 against Iowa last week. Michigan drops a pass in the end zone that would have sent it to overtime. They got a last second win against Pitt. But you know what? Here they are, 8-0 at, you know, going into the end. Now they got to play Ohio State and they got to play them in Columbus. But they're 8-0. I mean, you go through the first 2 months of the season, you're 8-0. This one didn't help LSU as TCU beats Texas 37-27. We were afraid that this might happen. They faded late. TCU got them late last week against Kansas. Give Les Miles an assist here. They spent 86 plays on the field. The week after you spent 86 plays on the field, your defense is tied. They faded.
Les threw them alley-oop.
Yeah.
He threw them alley-oop, man. Did. And they finished it up.
He did. Max Duggan, quarterback for TCU, ran for 72 yards and a score. Minnesota State undefeated. Talk about under the radar. Number 17, Gophers win 52-10 over Maryland. Number 20, Iowa shut out Northwestern 20-0. I think if Northwestern and Michigan State played, they could play next. If they played next week, take them four games to score.
Probably.
I'm just.
Yeah, they're on the struggle bus.
I'm just playing. I know. I think they played earlier in the season and it was a 31-10 game, but. Now, at this point in the season, I think it'd take them a month to score. Can we get a score? No. Okay. Continuing on, App State stays unbeaten. They beat South Alabama 30-3. It was Oklahoma State upsetting number 23, Iowa State 34-27. Miami got a touchdown late. They beat Pittsburgh 16-12. San Jose State beat Army 34-29. Texas A&M goes to 5-3. They beat Mississippi State 49-30. Kellen Mond threw three touchdown passes for A&M. Illinois shut out. No, I'm sorry. They beat Purdue 24-6. Rutgers beat Liberty 44-34. Rutgers has scored 14 points in a month. 14 points in a month in the last four games. 0, 7, 0, and 7. They scored 44 today. You know why? Because I picked Liberty. And no other reason. Don't tell me Hugh Freeze anything. I picked Liberty to beat Rutgers.
Hugh Freeze is out of the bed, the hospital bed?
That's right, and the dentist chair. Western Michigan beat Bowling Green 49-10. Southern Miss beat Rice 20-6. Wyoming over Nevada 31-3. Marshall beat Western Kentucky 26-23. Georgia Southern over New Mexico State 41-7. UConn over UMass 56-35. And Florida State beat Syracuse 35-17. Louisville, 14 points in the fourth quarter. They beat Virginia 28-21. Indiana beat Nebraska 38-31. Stanford on the farm beat Arizona 41-31. It was Navy over Tulane 41-38. South Florida beat East Carolina 45-10. North Carolina beat Duke 20-17, and Tennessee all of a sudden has another win in the Southeastern Conference. Got to 3-5 on the season, 2-3 in the league. They beat South Carolina by a score of 41-21, and that is your college football scoreboard. We'll take a break. Be back with more here on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
LSU a 23-20 winner against Auburn today to move to 8-0 on the season. This is the scoreboard show presented by Home Bank. Astros get two in the first? Yeah, 2-0 Astros over Washington. We can do baseball scores, too.
I'm for that, especially when it's Houston.
Hey, Astros got a game back last night, so they're down 2-1 in the series, but an early lead in this one. All right, so give me your assessment of this team 8 games in, you know, how they started, where they are now, what are the next 2 weeks like before Alabama comes in?
Yeah, I mean, they're everything, you know, what I thought they would be, like watching them this spring and seeing just like when I say the dramatic change, I mean like night and day, you know, going to spring practices and then it rolling over to fall camp. And I was standing out there with Jacob and we looking at each other like, oh, this is real. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
the shift is there. You see guys are happy, they're energetic, and they believe in each other. You know, there's a lot of that, you know, kind of correlates to, you know, the running the 110s during the summertime when somebody's falling behind or not getting hands behind the line, guys are helping each other out. You know, they're trying to pump them up and egg them on. Like, those things translate to big plays, big wins down the road. It's as simple and minute as it may seem. Those things all come into play because you get that team bonding going on. And you got to do it. And the thing is, you know, Coach O, he's put together a staff, man, of great leaders that these young men respect, and that also goes a long way. And then he is, you know, the champion of it all. He's ringing that bell, and they're buying it. And, you know, so the sky's the limit for these cats, man. I'm excited as all get out because, you know, I saw it, you know, happening, you know, from the jump as far as, like I said, at practice, and just to see it translate the field. And like when Joe Burrow went up to SEC Media Days and said that they'd be surprised if, you know, we'll average like 50 points a game, and everybody's like, oh, get out of here, kid. Dead serious, except for today.
Well, okay, so let's look a little bit closer at this today and find out. 23 points, that's the lowest offensive output of the year. But as far as it was the points, they're averaging 540 yards per game this year, and 508 today. So the yardage wasn't all that far off, but the points were. You had a fourth down goal-to-go situation where you went for it and you didn't get any, okay? You had another situation where you had a sack that kind of killed the drive. So Auburn's got superior personnel to just about anybody that LSU's going to face up front defensively, but are you seeing different ways to attack this LSU offense? We saw what Utah State tried to do. They didn't have the personnel to do it, but they backed off. We saw what Florida tried to do. We saw what Auburn tried to do. So give me the differences. What are teams doing now? The first month of the season, they didn't know this was coming, but now they do. So what are they doing to adjust?
You really, to be honest with you, what they got going on, you really can't. You can hope to scheme to it and try not to play so much man and give Joe small windows and zone, but he'll eat you alive with that too. So, is, you know, you pick your poison with one. You got to stand your ground and say, look, we got a good enough personnel, we can get the game plan done. Or you got to second guess yourself and start doing things different, and that's when things go crazy and he starts picking you apart. These young men and what they got going on right now with these receivers and getting Terrence Marshall back, who is just an absolute touchdown catcher and maker. That's all he does is catch touchdowns. And so we have too many threats, in my opinion. We may not go into games and put up the type of numbers we did early on in the back end, especially, you know, 2 weeks from now, but we're going to put some points up on the board. We're going to give them fits. They're going to have to get out there and respond. You know, like I said, when I watched South Carolina play them a few weeks back, and, you know, you take away that hold on that fake punt, you know, it puts them in a certain position. You take in Tennessee versus Alabama last week, you take away the quarterback getting up there and doing his own dang on thing and not handing it off to the running back who could have walked in and hit his head on the goalpost. It's 28-21. It's different. The momentum swings. Those things happen. I mean, they've been put in tight situations but always found a way to get out of it. I think if we can go in into the next 2 weeks down there and capitalize on mistakes, take the field goals when we have to, and don't try to go for it on fourth down unless it's complete and utter, we're going to get it. You know, other than that, you take the points, you keep on ticking.
I didn't have a problem with them going for it on fourth down. I did think they ran right into the teeth of the Auburn defense on the first three. The flanker screen, which, by the way, we all called before it came out, they ran that play against Georgia Southern the other side. When they motioned the guys, we know what they're running. Now, Chase might have broke a tackle, but they I would have liked to have seen them throw the ball on second down there, third down. This is what I see. What Auburn decided to do, and Florida – to a the same extent, but they were without Grenard for most of the game. They were without Zuniga for part of the game. Zuniga, they couldn't generate the type of pressure with their front four that Auburn did. Auburn said, listen, you're going to complete balls, but you're going to complete them in front of us, and we're going to concentrate on tackling as well as we can. By the way, this is exactly what LSU should do against Alabama, because you can't take away every doggone slant, especially if Tua plays.
Put your hands up.
They're too good. Yeah, you put your hands up, hope to bat some balls. Maybe they'll drop one. You get a bad throw. You'll get a penalty, whatever, to stop a drive. Joe Burrow came into this game averaging 11.4 yards per attempt, okay? Auburn took him down to 7.7 today. That's a really significant amount, okay? When you put the ball in the air 42 times, he completed 32 of them. Nothing wrong with the completion percentage. Really nothing wrong with 321 yards against a defense of that caliber. But what it seemed like to me that Auburn decided was, we'll get all the pressure we can with our front four. And they were able to get much more pressure than Florida was. On the back end, it's like, we can't go, like you're saying, we can't go up and deny every slam. We can't deny every back shoulder throw to a guy like Chase or to Marshall. But what we are going to do is we're going to make sure that we limit the yards after the catch. We're going to make good tackles. And wherever you catch it, that's what you're going to get. And I think that's the only way you can play LSU.
Yeah.
And I think that's by the way, if Tua's healthy, which I'm sure that'll be a topic over the next couple of weeks. I think that's the only way you can play Alabama.
Yeah.
Because if you try to play up inside on Judy and Ruggs and Waddle, you miss one tackle and maybe.
I mean, not only they're great receivers, but man, they can. Those dudes have the juice. Dude. They can run. Like, I mean, it's track stars out there with great hands.
You make them throw. You make them throw down instead of these, 37-yard gains. They're 8-yard gains, okay? And you say, well, if they make 8 yards of play, they're going to score every time. It's not like that, okay? If you got to go down the field and every pass you have is the 7.69 yards is what Burrow averaged tonight, then you get what you have here because if you get a penalty. You get a drop, you get a sack, you get a batted ball, all of those things, they become drive killers. If you tackle, if you keep the ball in front of you, and I thought that's what Auburn tried to do today, and they had the personnel to put pressure on the quarterback without bringing a whole lot of blitzes, and they tackled as well as I think anybody's tackled LSU in the secondary this year.
Yeah, and then on the back end, I mean, like I was telling you during the break when we first started, those dudes were tired, man.
88 snaps will do that to you.
Oh, they were blowed. I saw 5 stand up, man, and we rushed to the ball, and he literally stood there, and we hiked the ball, and they just bowed him into the ground. So, like you said, 88 snaps will do it, but that I think that was end up being their killer for them. That's Achilles' heel for them.
All right. For those of you out there listening to your cars, I got a traffic update for you. This is serious. There is a crash at Burbank south of Ben Hur. One of those lanes is closed southbound. So again, listen, I know if you're stuck in traffic, all you can do is all you can do. But if you're wondering why there's a pileup than usual, and look, everybody was there till the end today. So I know the traffic is brutal right now. But there's been a crash on Burbank south of Ben Hur. One of those lanes is closed southbound. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more. Your phone calls coming up here in about 20 minutes as we transfer over into Eagle 98.1 Game Day. This is the Scoreboard Show on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Back here on the Scoreboard Show, LSU wins it today, 23-20. Well, we go to Jacob Hester. A couple of quick scores. Kentucky has scored again, missed the extra point again. They lead Missouri 12-0, and Michigan has just scored. It is raining in Ann Arbor, but with the extra point, they now lead Notre Dame 17-0. A lot of fans down here don't like either one of those schools, yeah. But Michigan has taken the lead. Here's a noted Notre Dame fan, Jacob Hester. Just kidding. Jacob, how you doing?
Well, I'm Irish and Catholic, and I still don't like Notre Dame, if that answers that question.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going around. Some people ask me why there's a hatred of Notre Dame down here, and strong Catholic population down here. I maintain it goes back to the year that they denied LSU a bowl game because Notre Dame ended their self-imposed bowl ban of 40 years and the 69 team. Anyway, all right, tell us your vantage from down on the field tonight of LSU's win against Auburn.
Well, you know, you're going to start off with you got to win against a top 10 team, and you're always going to take it. Doesn't matter how many points, it's five, but you're going to watch the tape and you're going to see you dominated the game, but, you know, the score is not going to show that. And obviously when you get stopped on the 1 yard line, when you throw an interception on the 1 yard line, right before half, you get to the two, but you have to settle for a field goal. The points aren't going to show up on the stat sheet. And when you look at the stat sheet, obviously LSU did dominate, and I thought they did enough to win, and that's always going to play in a game like this. We know what this series means. We know what these two teams play out whenever they get together. I thought there was still a lot of good. If I'm nitpicking, obviously you want to shore up your short yardage situation. You want to shore up on the goal line there. You want to be able to punch those in. That's something that LSU struggled with the last couple of weeks. And so even if it's, hey, if you kind of abort the run and you go to more of a passing from the two-yard line, if that's what you do, okay. But you want to make sure you start to score some touchdowns because it didn't cost you tonight, but it might cost you down the road.
Jacob, it seemed like Auburn was going to put themselves in defensive position where they weren't going to get the ball thrown over their head, where they were going to allow some completions, but they were going to tackle strong. The yards per completion per attempt for Joe Burrow were down 4 yards off of his season average, and they did what they could, but it still allowed over 500 yards of total offense. So talk to me about what you saw about how Auburn's defense attacked LSU's offense.
No, you're exactly right. They tried to keep everything in front of them. And, you know, the field didn't play, you know, that great with it being a little bit wet. So that's always going to shorten your routes up a little bit. But Auburn was so worried about getting beat deep by Ja'Marr Chase, by Justin Jefferson. Even on like an 18-yard dig route, they were trying to avoid that, keep everything in front of them. Ja'Marr Chase had a couple nice run after catches. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a big day as well, but Auburn came in with a plan to try to keep LSU in front of them, but it kind of backfired a little bit because they were on the field for so many plays because of it. LSU was picking up first downs and really it kept them on the field. And yeah, you slowed them down maybe as far as scoring quickly, but it kept your defense on the field, and their defense was gassed, guys. All those big guys wearing those single digits on the defensive line, they were hurting by the end of the night, and I thought that was something that when you go back and watch the tape will flash that in the third and fourth quarter, those guys weren't rushing like they were in the first and second quarter.
88 snaps will take a toll on you in any game, but especially a game like this. So, Jacob, that Auburn did this, that Utah State maybe did this a little bit, but a different type of a team there. Florida, even to a certain extent, did a little bit of this. What do we expect going forward, for LSU to be able to combat some of this stuff? For tonight, it was, yeah, maybe you were down 4 yards of completion, but you ran for twice as many yards as this group usually gives up. So is it just that?
So I think you're okay. If teams want to do this, you're fine. You just have to score when you're close in the red area. You have to score touchdowns. And like we mentioned at the beginning, I mean, how many points do you think LSU left on the board? At least, a minimum, probably 17, right? And so that's the situations you want to improve on, because if you score 17 points, then you win the game by 3 touchdowns. And so I think if teams want to play that way, that's fine. Look, we'll dink and dunk you to death because we've got the athletes on the edge there, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you play kind of, you know, off defense where you're a little bit soft in the middle, he's showing that he's going to have big games. And so I don't think it's going to be a problem if teams try to emulate the game plan that they had. It's just you have to convert when you have that opportunity.
Also probably don't have as good a defensive lines as Auburn does, at least for the most part. The play that I thought was such a huge, huge play at the beginning of the second half, DJ Williams, first play from scrimmage for Auburn in the second half, breaks off a 70-yard run. Jacob, from our vantage point on television, it looked like he should have scored. I don't know if Delpit made him change his angle or whatever, or if he just lost where he was on the field, but he stepped out at the 9-yard line. They had to settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown where it looked like Williams was clear. What did you see on that play?
Yeah, first off, it was a little unsound defense, obviously, over-pursuing, and that's what led to the big 70-yard game. But to me, from where I was sitting on the sideline, it looked like Grant did affect him because he tried to go a little bit farther than he had. He steps out of bounds there. So that's a play. You go back and you watch that tape, that stands out. And Grant Delpit gives that effort there. It keeps him out of the end zone because, as you know, you've seen enough football, I've seen enough football to know if that momentum from a touchdown happens, who knows what this game ends up being. So, it's great to see an All-American chase down a play like that and affect it. And he gets out on the 9-yard line there. The defense does their job. They bow their neck back and keep it to a field goal. So, overall, I thought the defense had a hell of a night. And I thought that, obviously that situation, the Derek Stingley, they almost kept him out. I mean, when you start the drive with momentum at the 22-yard line and you get to a fourth down situation and they have to review the play, I mean, I know they scored a touchdown, but I still think that's the defense going out there and playing their tail off. So I thought they had another step in the right direction as far as the defense as a whole.
Auburn's got to feel like this is twice now, once against LSU and once against Florida, where they got a guy in a clear that looks like he's cruising to a touchdown and they end up not getting the touchdown, citing the play. Where Derek Brown picked up the ball against Florida and looked like he was cruising in and fell down. So let's talk about Stingley for a second. It looked, again, on television, so give me your sideline view of this, that the punt before the one that he fumbled, it looked like he had a little bit of room and he fair caught it and it looked like he was a little bit disappointed. Maybe the sideline was a little bit disappointed that maybe that was one that he had some room to run with and he forced the next one, which probably should have been a fair catch, and it was a close call whether his knee was on the ground. Give me your perspective on where the coverage was on both of those punts.
I agree with you. I think he should have returned the first one and the second one because of him looking up and seeing he had room. He probably said, you know what, I'm going to return this no matter what, and kind of predetermined it. And anybody who's ever returned a ball has done that before. I've done it. JB wasn't fast enough to return ball, so he probably didn't do it.
Boy, but, you don't stop at foolishness.
But, JB, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You predetermine something like that. It can get you in tough situations. And, man, it's just not comfortable back there right now, it looks like. In the last really, five, six games, it hasn't really looked comfortable. And he started out so hot. You need to get him back because he's a weapon when he's back there, and he's had a couple opportunities. You go back a week in the Mississippi State game, the punter outkicks his coverage, and Stingley doesn't have that confidence to go field the punt, hits the ground, and then ends up being positive for the punt team there. So, look, he's got it in him. We've all seen him do it in high school. We've seen him do it on the collegiate level, and that's one of the toughest things to gain that confidence back. But I assume because he's one of the best players in the country, he'll get that confidence back and be back.
Never was able to get a great view. Didn't get a second look at the missed extra point. Snap or hold?
Both.
Just from watching the reaction, it looked like Zach Von Rosenberg kind of tapped his chest like that's on me. So I'll have to go back and watch that one because the same thing. I was, paying attention more to Cade York, and it looked like Zach said, hey, that one's on me. And so, that's 2 weeks in a row, so it's still something you want to work on. It's something that has kind of been a bugaboo the last couple weeks.
All right, a couple guys got nicked up at the end of the game. We saw Derek Stingley taking pictures on TV, so it looked like he was okay, but maybe you can update us on him. And then Delpit, who came back to the sideline, but an update on either one of those guys.
Yeah, so I thought Grant was going to go back in the locker room. I'm not sure what brought him back on the field. You could tell he wasn't very happy with the injury. I don't know if it was – it looked like a lower leg injury, so – I don't know. He didn't come back. That's not a great sign because, typically because of adrenaline and all those things that you try to play the rest of the game out. Now, it was a two-score game, so maybe that had something to do with it. I think thing was going to be fine, obviously. Like you said, fine after the game, didn't look like anything was really bothering him. Grant didn't look at a deal where you got to worry about him being back in a couple weeks. Obviously, you have a bye week, and that is huge to get some guys back healthy, but the Delpit one's something to definitely pay attention to because it did look like a lower leg.
Gonna be an interesting 2 weeks. Gonna be a long 2 weeks between this game and the next one.
Charlie, you're going to say the word tightrope more than any other word that comes out of your mouth the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably so. I've gotten an education in tightrope surgery.
Hey, me too. Brother.
I'll tell you what, it's not. It hasn't affected them tonight, but they're playing Arkansas, so Arkansas is so bad that I don't know that we were going to, you know, mesh anything out from this, but it's going to be 8-0 against 8-0. It's going to be, I can't imagine it's not going to be number one versus number two, although Ohio State, I guess, you know, maybe could be number two. At any rate, it's the mother of all games. It's 2011 all over again in 2 weeks in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, I'm actually looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a long 2 weeks. I'm never going to talk our tongue dry about this matchup, but that's what you want. You want one versus two. You want good on good. You want everything that surrounds this game. And look, I know it's on the road. It's a 2:30 CBS game. Everybody's going to be watching it. But to win championships, you have to win games like this.
All I know is that we looked up daylight savings time. Given the CBS broadcast and given when the game starts and when the sun sets with daylight saving time, your favorite, the LED lights will be on. We are predicting 6 minutes into the third quarter. So I know that's your favorite.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be showing the Christmas lights off like Clark Griswold at Christmas Vacation there in the third quarter.
Jacob, enjoy the rest of the night. Thanks a lot.
All right, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Jacob Hester down at Tiger Stadium. We'll take a break. We're about to turn this thing into Eagle 98.1 Game Day. This is the Scoreboard Show on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
LSU wins it by a score of 23-20. Been a full day here. Not the most welcoming of weather, but the campus was full. It was full early. The crowd, I thought the crowd brought it today, from what I could hear, given the, you know, this wasn't the perfect convergence of every factor like weather and time like it was for Florida, but thought they were pretty good today.
Yeah, I was on campus at 8 a.m. this morning, and it was jam packed, like the game was at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So they're ready to go.
Thought they were good today. Ogeron pointed that out in the post game. So even with sometimes rain keep you away a little bit, but they were able to get it over. Get over on that part of it as well. 499-9898 is the number to call. We're going to turn this into Eagle 98.1 Game Day here in a second. We'll give you a couple of scores as we move forward here. Michigan down to 5 minutes to the half, still leading Notre Dame 17-0, and Kentucky leading Missouri 15-0. It was about this time last week that we were talking about, you know, Missouri's the only undefeated team left in the SEC East. That was before they lost to Vanderbilt and began the first half by going nearly two quarters. Now they're about 15 seconds to the half without scoring against Kentucky. I think we can write them off as contenders in the East. a week ago it was where we were. Same thing with Wisconsin. A week ago, just to give you an idea how things change, a week ago, maybe a week and 3 hours ago with Wisconsin, they were all getting ready for this mega matchup with Ohio State. And then what? You lose to Illinois, and then you go to Ohio State, get blown out. I only point it out because no matter how many times we see it, it still seems like we take certain results for granted. And I'm going to repeat this again, probably end up repeating it most of the week. 3 weeks in a row now, we have seen a national championship contender that was a monster favorite, 3 touchdowns or better, lose outright. Georgia 2 weeks ago, Wisconsin last week, and Oklahoma today. It ain't automatic, man.
No.
And it's certainly not automatic against a team like Auburn. So if today wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing thing as far as the number of points scored, dig a little bit deeper because this one was really good. All right, we'll take this segue, and we're moving this thing into Eagle 98.1 Game Day. 499-9898 is the number to call.